Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought, and notice these three words that we got for our message today, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to, notice this three-letter word here, it changes everything. When he came to the place, it doesn't say that Jesus came to a place. It says that Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Now, the Bible says one thing and the song says the other. What do you want to say when you say, Zacchaeus, you come down? I know you want to. For I'm going to your house too. Okay, all right. Notice what he says. It's amazing how many children's songs are totally out of script. No, I'm just joking. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw, now who are they? They are the press, not newspaper press. But as the Bible said that Zacchaeus could not get to Jesus because of the press, it's the crowd, it's the people. And the Bible says that they, and that's who we're talking about here, and when they saw it, verse 7, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's a great story, isn't it? This is not a parable. This is a story. You say, well, preacher, what is the difference? Well, parables, we don't know if they actually happened or not. They were illustrations that Jesus gave. It doesn't mean that they didn't happen. It means that Jesus didn't give the names of the individuals. There are times here where I would say, well, I had an individual one time, and I'll tell you what happened, and I didn't give you the name. I used it as an illustration, but that doesn't mean it didn't really happen. I just withheld the name. And some of the parables that Jesus gave, we don't know. It might be that they actually did happen. He just didn't give us the names. But this one, he gave us the names. He gave us the accreditation. And we know that this actually happened. I want you to notice, as before we pray, it said that Zacchaeus, and we'll talk about this, but at the end of the story, when he got right with God, he said that anybody that I have taken money from or taken from by false accusation or had done it not legally or not correctly or not honestly, he said, I will restore him fourfold. Now, that's an interesting thing. Could you imagine if you were a businessman like Zacchaeus was, and we'll talk about everything that he did, and you had gotten quite a bit of money over the years, the Bible says he was a rich man, and you decide that you're going to restore everything that you ever took dishonestly fourfold. That's major, isn't it? I forget how long I had been back to Kerwin, and I will withhold the names. This might be a parable. This actually happened. But I had not been back here very long, and I had a gentleman contact me and asked to meet with me in Winston. So I went and met with him, and I would obviously never share any names or anything like this. And this gentleman happened to have attended our school in the past. And I met with him. And he said, years ago when I was at the school, I forget on probably, I think he might have said three or four occasions. I don't remember if it was more or less. But on three or four occasions, he had taken money from the cafeteria lunch box, the money box that they would, you know, kids would buy their lunch. And he had taken money from that box. And I thought, well, maybe if he just meant to try to, you know, get it off his chest, and obviously it had been bothering him. And, you know, by the way, that's a good thing that that's been bothering you. The worst thing is when it doesn't bother you and you do things like that. And it had been years ago. And, of course, I would have been content to just say, well, bless your heart, you're forgiven, brother, you know, kind of a thing. But he brought up this story, and he said, I want to make it right. And does not go to this church, so don't try to guess who it is. Doesn't go to this church or anything. And he handed me a check for $25,000. He said, I want to make things right with God. Now, if any of you have ever taken money from our I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you today. He didn't give me, obviously, that money. He gave that money to the church. And part of that money, as we added to a Christmas offering, redid much of this back room where we have Sunday school classes. When we first came, we began to try to redo some things and make it nicer and help purchase some of this carpet in here that we tried to make nice. That's the first time I'd ever had that really happen to me. And he kind of brought up this, that, you know, when you get right with God, you don't want to just make things right. You want to make things really right. That's when you know that you're sincere, isn't it? Let's pray to see Jesus. Lord, we long today to see you. And Lord, we are reminded here of an individual that wanted to see you so desperately that he did everything in his power to see you. Lord, I think if we were honest, there would be individuals, some of us sitting here this morning, that would say it's been a while since I've seen Jesus. It's been a while since I've seen him work. It's been a while since I've felt him in my life. Lord, I pray that maybe through this familiar, literally childhood story that we all know, somehow, Lord, you would put in us the desire again today to see you for who you really are. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to point something out in verse 3 before I get started in our outline today. You'll notice in verse 3 that the Bible says Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, and if he would have stopped right there, that would have been one thing and that would have been great. But the Bible says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'd like to see and experience Jesus. It's another thing to say, you know what, I want to see who Jesus really is. I want to know him that closely and intimately that I know who Jesus is and I know what he can do. I want you to notice, first off this morning, as we talk about this man Zacchaeus, if you're not familiar, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Verse 2 tells us that he was chief among the publicans. Whether you realize that or not, that means and tells us that he was the head tax collector. He was in charge. And that means that he obviously could do just about anything he wanted to do. People, individuals in that community hated him because he had defrauded most of them out of their money. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? It's just common knowledge. Rome at this time had a standard rate. And men like Zacchaeus, Rome would say, this is what we want from our people. And this is the tax that they're going to pay. And Zacchaeus, as the head tax collector, could charge them any amount over that for tax and keep it. There were no checks and balance system in place. He had the ability to do that. There was no accountability. And so in these days, tax collectors were despised because they would literally charge more than they probably needed to charge, but you had to pay it or you obviously would be in big trouble. So Zacchaeus had been a very dishonest individual, and let's be honest, he was no different probably than any other tax collector in his time, because that's what they did. That's how they made their money. And they made a lot of money, many of them. And the Bible says that he was very rich. So you understand a little bit about Zacchaeus. The people had no choice on the taxes that they were charged. Anybody else feel their pain? I just wanted to bring that into play this morning. Has nothing to do with the message. I just wanted to say that. Now, while Zacchaeus had wealth, the Bible says that he was a rich man. He had prominence. He was chief tax collector. The Bible says he was rich. So we know that he had authority. We know that he had wealth. His financial, political, and social connections, as great as they were, we know from this story that for some reason there was still a need in Zacchaeus' life that was not fulfilled. There was something still missing, and Zacchaeus did not know what it was. Now look at me. If Zacchaeus was 100% fulfilled, happy, and content with his life, why would he have tried to run down and find out who Jesus is? Dear friend, we always say it, but I want you to know, wealth, material things, all these things, there's nothing wrong with any of them. But I want you to know that they do not bring fulfillment in life. As long as you know that. Everybody acts as if it's wrong to have things. It is not wrong to have things. And I've told you, I'm not going to get on this hobby horse again. But I am thrilled anytime one of our people that I know, or even somebody that are Christians and they serve God, I am thrilled when God blesses them and gives them things. And they get a new car. They get a new house. Man, I am thrilled for them. And there ought to be one place that people shouldn't be jealous or envious. It ought to be in the house of God. Amen? Amen. We all understand that. But Zacchaeus had found that he had everything that really money and position could get him, but there was still something missing. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 3, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus for who he was. Now, in my mind, I have often thought, why did Zacchaeus want to go find Jesus? Second question is this: how did Zacchaeus even hear about Jesus? What was it about what he heard that made him interested to find out about Jesus? The only thing I can think of, because he had not ever seen him before, we know from the story, he had never been around Jesus, he had never even been close to Jesus. So the only thing I can think of is that somehow in Zacchaeus' line of work, through the individuals that he collected tax from, somehow he saw a difference in some of those individuals, and the connection was that they had a relationship with Jesus, and that made him want to find out what he could about Jesus. I have thought in my mind, could you imagine, and God doesn't tell us all that happened, but could you just imagine the possibilities? I could see Zacchaeus walking through, obviously, town, and he was busy about his day, probably had his morning coffee in Danish or something like that. And I could see him probably walking around and going by a house, and it had been vacant, and he sees that now there's somebody living there at this house. And I could see Zacchaeus realizing, well, somebody new is living here, and I need to collect their taxes. They weren't living here before. This was a vacant house. I don't understand. I can see him kind of knocking on the door, and this lady comes out to the door, and he looks at her, and he said, well, ma'am, I see that you're living here now. She said, yeah, I haven't been in this house for a long period of time, but now my life's different, and I'm back here at home. And he said, Well, ma'am, what do you mean? And she says, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I had been the kind of an individual that I had been with a bunch of different men. I've been with married men, and I just really was going from one place to the other. I was living with a man that wasn't even my husband at that time. But I went to the well one day, and I was sitting there at the well, and I was thinking about my life, that, you know, something is missing out of my life. And there's this man named Jesus. And he came and sat down at that well. And you know what? He just somehow, and I don't know how, he knew everything about my life. He knew I had done wrong. He knew that I was living with an individual. He knew that I had lived a promiscuous life. But for some reason, this man, and I believe he was a prophet, and now I believe, I know he was the Son of God. And he told me everything that I did in my life, but he didn't judge me, and he didn't criticize me. He simply told me that he had water that would give me water that I would never thirst again. And all of a sudden, all these men showed up, and they were going to criticize me, and he drew in the sand. I don't know what he said, but they left me alone, and my life's been different ever since. And I've gotten my heart right, and I'm in a house now, and I want to do something for that guy. Yeah. I could see Zacchaeus thinking, well, my goodness, well, this is what you owe on taxes. And I'm sure he was used to people saying, well, that's just ridiculous. And him saying, well, you know what? This, you know, he taught me that I need to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and here you go. I can see him thinking, man, I can see him going to the next house, you know, and here's maybe a family that had lived there for years, just some kids and maybe a wife, we don't know. And he had always gone, and there was never a man there. And I could see him go to the next house and knocking on that door, and all of a sudden a man opens the door. He said, "Yes, sir, can I help you?" And he kind of taken back. He said, "Well, you know, sir, my name's Zacchaeus. I'm the chief tax collector." "Oh, okay." He said, "Well, sir, I'm not used to seeing you here. Are the same people that live here?" He said, "Oh, yeah, this is my wife, this is my kids." And I can see him saying, well, sir, where have you been? Are you new?" He said, I can see him saying, "Oh, no." He said, "Listen, I got to tell you what happened to me." He said, "I've had his disease, and I have been sick for years. And you know the pool of Bethesda down there? You know how that every morning the angels would come, and they would just touch that water, and the first person in the water, they'd get healed?" And he said, "I was laying there by that pool. I just lived there my whole life, and I was just waiting for the chance to get in. But because of my health, I couldn't get in the pool first." And he said, I never could get healed. And he said, "Here I got kids and a wife, and I couldn't work. I couldn't provide for them. I couldn't do anything. So I just lived there at that pool, and I've been there all these years. That's why I haven't been home." He said, "But the other day, there's a man named Jesus that came by, and he said, everybody always beat me into the pool. And he said, but he came up and he touched me. And when he touched me, he said, man, I stood up for the first time in years. And he said, I'm not lame anymore. And he said, I rolled up that bed and threw that bed away. And he said, I came back home and I got a job now, and I'm providing for my family." He said, Jesus changed everything in my life. And I could see Zacchaeus saying, "Well, this is what you owe in taxes." I could see him going to this other house, and here he obviously knew that nobody lived there. And as he went by and he saw that, man, all of a sudden now there's shrubs in the front, and now there's curtains on the windows, and now they got a flag, you know, hanging on the door or something like that. It's real biblical, I'm going to tell you right now. He had a Tar Heel flag hanging from the door, you know, something like that. I just lost half of you, didn't I? I'm sorry. And I could see him walking up and literally thinking, well, man, there's somebody that lives in this house now. I could see him kind of going up on the door and thinking, all right, I got a new customer, and I can get some money from this. And all of a sudden, this man opens the door, and this man's just clean shaven and all put together and looking there like a sharp individual. And he kind of looks. He said, well, sir, my name's Zacchaeus. I'm head tax collector. And I could see the man saying, well, it's good to meet you. And he said, well, sir, I see that, you know, you're new here. Have you just moved into the area? And I could see the man. He said, well, you could say that. And Zacchaeus said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, I'm a little bit ashamed to tell you this, but I used to live on this little island called Gadara, and I'm what they called a maniac. And he said, I know you're not going to believe this, but I used to run around the graveyards. And he said, I was naked. I didn't have any clothes on. I'd cut myself and abuse myself. And he said, I would run around. I had stuff, hair everywhere. And he said, I just was nuts and out of my mind. And I was running around. And he said, people were scared of me and they stayed away from me. And I could see Zacchaeus thinking, well, you know, I kind of remember that there was some strange guy on the island of Gadara. And he said, you know, it was like that. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. There's this man named Jesus. And he showed up there. And he said, here I was. Nobody had anything to do with me, scared half to death. He says, I was out of my mind. And he said, Jesus came up and he cast those demons that were in my life and controlling me. He said, he cast those devils out. And he said, as soon as he did that, he said, I was back in my right mind and I knew what I was doing. And he said, I gave my heart to Jesus. He said, I've got my life cleaned up. And he said, would you believe when he cast those devils out, they said, you know what? We don't want to go into the sea. And Jesus said, you get into the sea. And the demons wouldn't go. And so God says, all right. And so God, Jesus, the Bible says, cast those demons into the pigs. And the pigs went into the sea. I can see Zacchaeus just listening. He said, now I moved here and I'm getting my life right. I got a job. And he said, you know what? I'm going around telling folks about Jesus. Zacchaeus, have you ever met Jesus? Because he changed my life completely. I can see Zacchaeus just forgetting the tax and everything. Just walking away. And I don't know how many people he met. I don't know how many stories he heard, but something along the way, Zacchaeus realized they got something I don't have. I'm collecting their taxes, and I'm getting money from them, and I got all the things, and I got the house, and I got the things, but they got something in their little house that I don't have in my big house, and they got something in all their lack of things that I don't have in all my things, and I got to figure out exactly what's going on. So Zacchaeus said, I'm going to go ask. He began to ask around. Wait, have you heard about Jesus? Where's this Jesus guy going to be? I'm going to go check him out. And when he finally found out, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus. I want you to notice number one this morning, the difficulties of seeing him. If you'll notice in verse 3, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. People were in the way. You know how often in life people are what's in the way for you to see Jesus. Sometimes you can be sitting right in the church and you're worried about people. You're worried about what they might think or what they might say. So many times in our lives we have influences and friendships and relationships that are leading us down the wrong way and taking us down the wrong road. And Zacchaeus, as he was seeking to get to Jesus, apparently he was kind of late showing up where Jesus was. Maybe he had just found out that, you know what, he's about 10 miles down. We hear that there's a thing going on there today. And I can see Zacchaeus getting there, but the Bible says the press was already there. The crowd was already there. And Zacchaeus, when he got there, he couldn't see him because people were in the way. And I'm here to tell you, in your life, if you try to get to Jesus, Satan will always put people in the way. They'll always be in the way. And dear friend, you've got to determine today whether you want Jesus more than you want people. And if you've been saved, you got to determine that, you know what, if I'm not right with God, and I'm not as excited about church as I used to be, and I'm not as convicted by preaching as I used to be, and I don't get in my Bible like I used to, and I don't think about spiritual things like I used to, well, dear friend, you better check your life and look at your influences and look at your relationships and say, you know what, maybe there's some people that I need to get away from so that I can get back to Jesus where I need to be. The difficulty of seeing him, the difficulty, number one under that, of the crowds. Number two, we see the difficulty of his condition. The Bible says here in verse 3, obviously, that he sought to see Jesus who he was. He could not for the press because the Bible says he was little of stature. He couldn't get to Jesus because of others, and he literally felt he couldn't get to Jesus because of himself. This is something about him he couldn't change. This is something that kept him from being able to see Jesus like he wanted to. But there's nothing he could do about this. You might be here this morning and you might say, preacher, I would love to see Jesus. And I would love to get close to Jesus. But I've done some things in my life and I can't change it. And I've got some things in my past and I wish it were different. And if I knew better now, maybe I wouldn't have. But I've done these things and it's in the way. And dear friend, you might have a condition or a past or circumstances. And you're bringing that to the table and you think, that's going to keep me from getting to Jesus. Dear friend, it won't. I believe when you desire to see the Lord, you need to understand that there will always be obstacles that Satan puts in your way. He'll use people, but even more importantly, he'll use you. He'll use your guilt. He'll use your shortcomings. He'll tell you, hey, don't you go volunteer to serve at this church and do things at this church. You can't teach a Sunday school class. You can't work on a bus route. You can't help in Awanas. You can't coach upwards. You can't do all those things. Just think about all these things. There's just no way. And listen, Satan will put yourself in the way if he can. All I'm saying is this, that when you go after Jesus Christ, when you develop a desire within your heart to see him, you can rest assured that there will be difficulties and you've got to decide either you're going to overcome those obstacles or you're going to let them stand in your way. You've got two choices. I want you to notice number three, the difficulty of the critics. Not just the difficulty of the crowd and the difficulty, obviously, of his condition. But if you'll notice in verse 7, the difficulty of the critics. I thought this was interesting. Look if you would at verse 7. And when they saw it, the very crowd that was keeping him away from Jesus. In the meantime, Zacchaeus meets Jesus and Jesus goes to his house with him. We'll talk about that in a minute. And look what happens after Jesus does that, sees Zacchaeus, goes to Zacchaeus' house. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, already, Zacchaeus hadn't even got saved yet, and the critics are there. Now, notice how they criticized. First, they criticized Zacchaeus. Notice what they said at the end of verse 7, that Jesus had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, they are one to talk. By the way, they were right. Zacchaeus was a sinner. What they forgot to mention is that they're sinners too. So they criticized Zacchaeus, and half these people had to be religious. They had to be. Only religious people start criticizing sinners. Sinners don't normally criticize sinners. Religious people criticize sinners. I want you to notice, secondly,
Then they criticize Jesus. They criticize Jesus for going to Zacchaeus' house. Man, nobody can make them happy. They criticize Zacchaeus because he's a sinner, and then they criticize Jesus because he's trying to save that sinner. Can I tell you something, dear friend? I'm learning. There's always critics. Criticism is easy. It's just easy. It makes you feel better. If I tear them down, I feel better. It justifies your laziness, because if somebody's doing something and you criticize them, you don't feel so bad for not being the one doing anything and not making an effort. Criticism is easy. But let me tell you something. I have found out that really there's not as many critics as you think there are. There's just a few, and they're loud. But let me tell you something. When you serve God, you can't let critics get in your way, and you can't let them discourage you. Because you know what? Jesus has a job, and his job was to get to that sinner, and Jesus was going to get to that sinner. It didn't matter who said what. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. The difficulties of seeing him. Number two, I want you to see the dedication of seeing him. Amen. Notice, if you would, verse 4. The Bible says that Zacchaeus ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him. So what it says here is that he got there and he couldn't see over the crowd. So he realized that Jesus was traveling a certain direction. So the Bible says Zacchaeus literally, physically ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a tree. Now, I found that interesting. Now, let me tell you why. I don't know if you've ever even thought about this in the story. It should be enough that he ran ahead of the crowd. You're the first one in line. You think, all right, I got my spot. But he was short of stature. So I think Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so desperately that even if he got ahead of the crowd, he wanted to make sure he was in a high enough spot. So at last minute, somebody didn't come stand in front of him, or three or four people come stand in front of him and block his view again. He got there ahead of time and he climbed up in the sycamore tree so that nobody could block his view. Dear friend, that's the only way you're ever going to get around the crowd, is if you run away from them and you get yourself in a place high enough that they can't bother you. Whether you know it or not, that's good. I feel like T.D. Burgess right there. That's good. That's good. I want you to notice, under the dedication of seeing him, number one, it required effort. The Bible says he ran before and climbed. Ran and climbed. Both of these things indicate that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he was willing to do anything it took to be able to. Climbing into the tree is not the easiest thing for a man of short stature. Outrunning a crowd is not the easiest thing for a man of short stature. But I have said it before and I'll say it again. When you want something as a human being, you'll do anything you can do to get it. Do you want Jesus that bad? Do I want Jesus that bad? It required effort. It will cost you something to see Jesus. Are you still with me? We got just a couple more minutes. It will cost you something to see Jesus. The price will be prayer. The price will be time in God's Word. The price will be attendance to His house. The price will be turning away from your sins. The price will be sacrificing sometimes your pride and your will and your way. I'm here to tell you, for you and I to see Jesus, it's going to cost us something and it's going to take effort. But it'll be well worth whatever you sacrifice, and it'll be worth whatever it costs you.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.